Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bova Metzia Daf Chof Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material access by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the top line of Daf Chof Vov. We continue analyzing the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed finding vessels within a wall, and on the top line we quote from the Mishnah, "Bekaisel chadash, if you find vessels in a new wall, mi chetzio vilachutz shelo, from half of the thickness outwards toward the public domain, so the finder can keep it. Me chetzio vilifnim shel balabayis, from halfway of the thickness of the wall inwards, that belongs to the private party, the who lives on the inside, the inside part of the wall. In other words, a house, courtyard that's facing the wall from the inside. Omar Ravashi, Sakino Bosurkata. The knife found in a wall, ownership of it is determined by the direction the handle is facing. In other words, if the handle is facing the direction of the public thoroughfare, so then one who finds it can keep it. If it faces the private side of the wall, so then the dweller on the inside of the wall can claim ownership to that knife. Kiso is a pouch. Pouch described here has straps attached to it. Boser Shinsei. You determine ownership of the pouch based on where the straps are. If the straps are facing the B'nai Rishus Rabbim, where the public passes, so then it's considered part of the general public, and if you find it, you could keep it. If it's found on the facing the inside of the inside half of the inside part of the wall, then it belongs to those on the inside and the private side. The Gemara asks, "V'elo masnisin dekotani," the Mishnah that set a standard and didn't mention knife handles and pouch straps, but rather mechetzu v'lachut shelo, mechetzu lufnim shel balabayis, from halfway mark and outwards, it is yours, the finder. From halfway inwards, it belongs to the homeowner. Why is that the standard? If Rav Ashi is correct, the lechsi e kata legav e kata labar, e shinsei legav e shinsei labar. Why not simply look at where the handle is? If it's facing inside, so it goes toward the inside, it belongs to the inside people. If it's facing the outside, so it's belongs to he who finds it from the general public. And similarly with the shinsei, with the straps, legav, if it's facing inside, so that's to whom it belongs. The Gemara answers, masnisin beudra venaska. The Mishnah that used the halfway mark, the halfway thickness mark of the wall, is featuring items that don't have any specific defining elements to it. Udra would be clumps of wool, naska, bars of metal, bars of silver, that don't have any particular side to it that we would use as a point of definition. So in cases like that, we use the halfway mark as our means of determination. Tana, im hoya kaisel memula mehem chokin. If the wall, the thickness of the wall, is filled with the items, so then it's divided. Half would go to the homeowner, and half would go to the member of the general public that happens to find it. Pshita, is that not obvious? If we say that the halfway mark is the determining factor, and now you have some items that fill the wall, so you would split it. Need I be taught that? What is taught here that I wouldn't have thought of on my own? Lo tzricha. No, it's necessary to teach this under the following circumstances. De mishapea b'chad gisa, where the wall actually widens at the bottom. At the top of the wall, it was narrow, and the narrow part was located more on one side. So that if you would imagine the wall of on an imaginary say property line, the top part of the wall, we have a crude diagram that might be helpful, and it shows that the top part of the wall is located on the side of the private domain. As you descend the height of the wall, it widens, jutting out into the public domain. So in a case like that, we're telling you the following. Mahu detemo, I would have thought, without this source, ishtapuche ishtapuch, that the contents that you find now at the bottom really spilled down from the top. And at the top, it was really closer to only one side. And therefore, if it in fact had started from the top and spilled downwards, then you would give it to that side. Komash Malon, we tell you that we're not going to take that into consideration. We're not going to view things like that. But as you find it, that is as it is. And we split it. Imhoya maskiro lachirim afilu besoch habayis harei elu shelo. We saw that if you were dealing with a rental of the domain, then even if you find it in a house itself that was rented, you can keep it. In other words, you're not going to be giving it, you're not going to be determining ownership in accordance with whoever had been renting it prior to your finding it. The Gemara raises a question on this. Vamai, why are you able to keep it? Lezel Boser Basra, why not determine ownership by who the Basra, the last renter, was? Mi lo tnan, do we not have the following source? And here we have a long question. And before we go further in the Gemara, we note our topic heading on the side. Bala bayis motza mitzia b'bayis shehizkir lacherim. A homeowner found an item in a house that he rented to others. Lefi mishnasenu mashma, according to our Mishnah, it seems, the lo azlinon boser basra, we don't determine ownership in accordance to who the most recent, the last individual was that was there. The kotoni hare l'shelo. Our Mishnah says that you keep it. Hare mi mokar acher. But behold, in another source, another Tanaic source, being in Moish and Imsu Bishlayim, regarding the identity of money found in Jerusalem. Mashma dazlinon boser basra. In that source, which we haven't said a word about it, it seems there we do determine identity by that which was most recent. The question then will be raised, and after the long question marking, if you scan ahead with your eyes in the Gemara text, you'll notice diamonds appear, and under our Mivneh heading, we can tell you ahead of time, Gimel Tshuvos, three answers, L'Sheila Hanal, to the question raised by the seeming discrepancy between these two sources. So now, the Gemara. In our Mishnah, we said that we give it to the homeowner that finds the item in a house that he may have rented to others. And we don't determine the found item based on who the most recent tenant was. Well, why not? Do we not have the following source? Mois Shinimsu. Cash that was found. And in this Tanaic source, there are three different scenarios. And as the Gemara unfolds after the Tanaic source, we're going to be interested primarily in the third example. So if you find cash, lifnei sochare behema, in front of animal vendors, people selling animals in Jerusalem, le'oila meiser, the identity of that money, the cash, is always going to be associated with meiser sheni funds. People would redeem their produce on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of they would tie their produce on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the seven-year sabbatical cycle. 10% of the tithe was marked as Meiser Sheni, and Meiser Sheni is brought to Yerushalayim, and if you can't bring the fruits, the bulk is too great, the distance is too great, you can redeem it onto money and bring the cash to Jerusalem. And what would people do with the cash? So the most widespread practice was that they would buy animals to offer as shlomim sacrifices and consume the meat in Jerusalem. So monies that you find in front of animal merchants in Yerushalayim is going to be considered meiser sheni money. And that has several different halacha ramifications. But it has sanctity. The money has sanctity and it's earmarked for meiser sheni purposes. And the term le'oila means whether it's during the holiday time when the masses come to Jerusalem or during other times of the year. Number two, Bahar Habayis Chulin, cash found on the Temple Mount, even during the holidays, is not sanctified money. It's chulin. What's maybe paradoxical, but that's the way it is. Most of the monies found in Jerusalem are considered meiser during the holidays, but not so regarding that which is found on the Temple Mount. Number three, Ubi Yerushalayim, in monies found in Jerusalem, in other markets other than the animal markets, Bishari Mosa Shana Chulin, during the rest of the year when the masses weren't coming to Jerusalem, so money that's found in the streets of Jerusalem and the other markets are considered unsanctified funds, chulin, common funds. B'shas HaRegel, B'hakol Meiser, during the holiday season when the masses came to Jerusalem and it was also an opportunity for people to bring their Meiser Sheni monies to Jerusalem to buy food there. So it's all Meiser. All the monies found during the holiday seasons, the thrice annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem, is Meiser. Monies found would be classified as Meiser Sheni money. The Omar Rav Shmaya Bar Zira, my time up, Rav Shmaya comes to explain regarding Yerushalayim, during the holiday time we consider it Meiser. And we don't say that the money is related to monies that were there from before the holiday. Hayo v'shuke Yerushalayim asuyim l'skabed b'chol yom. The markets, the streets of Jerusalem were swept every day. And if money had fallen from before the holiday, it was already found by those that were sweeping the streets. This, by the way, is in Rashi points out in contrast to the Temple Mount, which was not an area that was swept. So Temple Mount is, as we said before, a different standard. We continue in the Gemara. Alma, from this we see, Amrinon, that we say, Kamoi, Kamoi, Ozlu, Vahani, Achrini, Ninu. Whatever was there before is gone, and what you find now during the holiday is something else, is something new. It's not that which was there before. And since it's not associated with that which was there before, it's associated with the pilgrims coming for Aliyas HaRegel, it's Meiser. With that in mind, Hocha Nami, with regard to the house rental, Kamo Kamo Ozo, whatever was there from earlier tenants is gone, has been cleaned out from when the early tenants left, and the prior to the new tenants arising, Vahani Debasruhu, and that which you find in the house now is that which belonged to the most recent individuals. Rashi, on the toward the end of the narrow lines, Alma Bedavar Shosu Liskabe, things, areas that are customarily swept. Amrinon, we say Kamoi Kamoi Azlu Uvahani Achrininu. Whatever was there from before is not there anymore, and whatever you find is there from something very recent. Hochanami Stam Socher by Sotu, here by the case of the house rental. The common tenant, Shu Yotze, when he leaves, Mechapes calls off Yosef Venoitel Eshelov Yotze. He searches all the corners and takes his stuff and leaves. Venemo Achrinim Shechuhu, and therefore there's room to suggest only that the stuff that you find in a house that was rented belongs to the last ones that happen to forget. Shilu Rishonim Shechuhu Kvar Motzu Achrinim. If the earlier tenants had forgotten it, the items were already found by the later tenants. So now we go back to the Gemara, trying to understand why is it that we allow the homeowner who enters his vacant house after there had been tenants, why is it that he is entitled to the items and we don't assign it to the most recent tenants? Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara. So this is the first of several answers. Kegoin Sha'asoi Punduk L'shloisha. Some have the version Yisrael, some have the version Bnei Adam. The house had been used as it was rented as an inn. It was serving as an inn for three different people at the same time. And whoever lost the item has been misyaish, because he doesn't know to whom to turn. The Gemara asks, Shema Mino, should we conclude from here? Halacha Kav Shimon ben Elazar Afila Barov Yisrael. This is a continuation of the discussion we had in our previous sugya, where we were trying to conclude what, I should say, previous sugya, really a reference to the Gemara back on Daf Chof Dalet for greater accuracy. Two daf ago, we were trying to determine what was Rav Shimon ben Elazar's halacha, what were the guidelines of his halacha, who said that if you find something in a place that the rabbim are found, you can keep it. So here we have an example of a rabbim. You have three people that were there at the same time, and the inn was serving as an inn for Jews, and you come along and find an item, you can take it. So should we conclude that his halacha applies even in a case where the public that was there was primarily a Jewish public, and yet you can keep it? And that was something the Gemara on Daf Chof Dalet didn't rapidly arrive at that conclusion, or if you might say it even hesitated coming to a conclusion in that regard. So should we use this Mishnah as concluding that point? And the Gemara says no. Ela Omar Rav Menashe Bar Yankov. Kagon Shaso Punduk L'shloisha Oivdei Kechavim. It was serving as an inn for three idol worshippers. Rashi adds here, the number three is only because we mentioned three before, but the truth is, even if it was one, so even if the it was serving as a pundik, as an inn for an idol worshiper, and therefore when if he left, you the homeowner can take the item. Rav Nachman Omar, Rabo Bar Avua, Afilu Teimo L'Shloshi Yisrael. He goes back to what Reish Lakish said. Even if you say it is an inn that served three Jewish travelers, nevertheless, we're not going to conclude that the halacha follows Rav Shimon Ben Lozer even in case of Rov Yisrael. Well, then, my Taimo, what is the reason that the Balabayas is entitled to take it? If you're not going to say that this Mishnah is serving as a proof for Rav Shimon Elazar, who said you're entitled to take to keep that which you find in a public area, why not over here? Why does this not serve as evidence to that the halacha is like him even in Rov Yisrael? So the Gemara explains, why is it that the Balabayas can take it? Hahu denofal minei meyayish. The true owner, we said there were three Jews there, the one who was the owner from whom it fell, he gave up hope. Meymar Omar, he figures like this. And the Gemara presents now in the next five lines what goes through his mind and why he gives up hope. Before we read the Gemara, let's learn the Rashi together, who will also serve as an introduction to the Gemara. So the Rashi that we're looking at is around seven lines up from the end. Afilu teimo l'shlosh Yisrael, v'lo tifsha t'alocha v'shimon olozer. And we're not going to conclude from here that the halacha follows Rav Shimon. T'chi pligi rabbonan olei, where the Rabbanan argue with him and say you have to announce the finding of the lost item. Hecha denofla b'mokim sh'rabim mitzuyin. That's in a case where the public is found. The lo yoda lehu lekulhu, where the owner doesn't know the people, all of the people, the masses that are in the public area. The sovar ha'evei, the one who lost the item figures, Umeymar Omar. He figures in this case, where you had three travelers in the inn at the same time, Hahu de'ashkach lo yoda mimi noflo. Let me correct myself. Rashi now is explaining why the Rabbanan would disagree with Rav Shimon Elazar in a case of a true massive area. The one who lost it figures, the one that finds it, lo yoda mimi nofla. He doesn't know from whom it fell. Ukshiagia haregel, when the holiday comes, yachriz olel, he will announce the etain simon, the owner, the one who lost it, will give us an identification sign, vetol, and take my item back. That is why the Rabbanan would disagree with Rav Shimon Elazar regarding things found in public areas. Aval hacha, the yoda lehu lekulhu. In this case, you have three people staying at the inn at the same time. Each one knows the other guy. Vitavanu, and the owner sought out his item. Velo odu, and no one came forward. The two other guys didn't come forward. Ayish mayish, he gives up hope. The owner gives up. Meimar Omar, he figures as what we'll see in the Gemara. So now we turn back to the Gemara, and what is in the mind of the one that lost it? He says, he figures, michti. Let's look into this. Inish achrina lo have bahadi ela hani. There was no other one with bahadi with me other than these two guys. Amri kamayu kamazimni. I said in front of them a number of times, lahadruli, give me back my item. Velo hadruli, and they didn't give it back. Va'ashta lahadru, and now they're going to give it back. If they had any intention of giving it back, they would have given it back to me. And that which they haven't given it back to me, it shows that they are interested in stealing it from me. V'ozda Rav Nachman l'tameh. Rav Nachman, who was our third diamond, is consistent here with what he has said elsewhere. The Yomar of Nachman, Ro'o Sela, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Shenofal Mishnayim, Chayav Lahachzir. If I notice a coin, a Sela, a coin that falls from between two people, there were two people walking and a coin fell from them, so I have to return it. My time, why can't I keep it? The one from whom it fell, he doesn't give up hope. Meimar Omar, he figures, Mifti. Let's look into this. There was no one with me other than this one other guy. Nakitno le, vaminole. Ant hu deshaklisei. I'll grab him. And I'll say to him, you are the one that took my coin. B'shlosha, however, if you notice a coin falling from amongst three, then eino chayv lahachzir. You don't have to return it. Before we go further, I think we should look at Rashi at the top line. When the coin fell from between two people, and you found that coin, you can't keep it because the real owner hasn't given up hope. He turns to the only guy that was with him, and we read Rashi at the top, Nakitnole, Mashbanole, Shwas Hesis, I will impose on him an oath that if he denies having it, he'll have to swear. Felonis Yayish Miyad Kishe Mishmesh, the owner of the coin in that case did not give up hope when he was feeling his pockets and felt something missing. V'lo motza. He was mishmesh v'lo motza. He was feeling his pockets and didn't find it. V'nimsa shebali adzil if neyush. In that case where you noticed a coin fall from between two people and you picked it up, it came to you before the real owner gave up hope. And v'alochi kabaye. And we rule like Abaye in that matter, Abaye from Daf Chof Aleph, that says Yeyush Shalom Midas is not Yeyush, in other words, you can't keep it. We go back to the Gemara, we're continuing on the fifth line from the top. B'shloisha eino chayav lachzir, if you found a coin fall from amongst three people, you can keep it. My taima, why is that? Answer, Hahu denofo minei vadai miayish, the one from whom it fell, he definitely gave up. Meimar Omar, he figures, Michti, Trey Havu Badoi. There were two with me, two other guys with me. Ina Kitno Lahai Omar Lo Shaklise. If I try to claim it from one guy, one of them, he'll say, I didn't take it. Vina Kitno Lahai Omar Lo Shaklise. If I try to claim it, demand it from the other, he'll say, I didn't take it. And Rashi adds, and in a case like that, there's no oath that can be imposed either because your claim upon them is one of doubt. Maybe you took it. He doesn't know for sure. In the first case, since there was no one else with him, and when it fell from amongst two, there was no one else with them, but the owner, he imposes an oath on him with a claim of certainty. You are the one that took it. If you want to deny it, so then swear to that effect. So in the case of falling from two, there is no immediate yeush on the part of the owner. In the case of three, there is. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a mivneh structural note. A triangle appears, and we indicate meimros shel Rava. These are statements or teachings of Rava b'inyan matbeis shenoflu u'motza oisam regarding coins that fell and someone found them. The Gemara. Omar Rava, Chai de Amris Bishlosha, Eino Chayav Lahachzir. In the teaching before, and I should also note before we go any further, there are two Lashonas in Rava. Aleph, and a few lines later, you see a squiggle underline, Ikar de Amri, a base, a second version of this triangle. So at this point, Rava qualifies that which we said, a coin falling from amongst three, you don't have to give it back. Lo amoran el deles bay shove pruta lechol chad v'chad. That the amount of currency that fell would be less than one pruta per person. So if there were three people there, and the value of the coin that fell was two prutos, two divided amongst three people would result in less than one pruta per person. So being that's the case, you don't have any obligation toward those people, because a minimum amount that is called mamon, something that you would have to return, is a full pruta. Avol is be shove pruta lechol chad v'chad. Let us say the value of the coin that fell was worth three prutos, and it fell from amongst those three people. Chayav lahachzir, you would have to attempt to return it. My taima, why? Amor shutfinin, because there's a possibility that they were shutfin, they were partners in it. They jointly owned it. The lo miyashu, and they jointly owned it. They didn't. No one gave up hope. And in a case that they were shutfin, no one's going to be claiming from the other one. Rashi, on the upper part of the narrow lines, let us learn it together. Amor shutfininu baselazu, that they were partners in this sela coin. V'nemonim zalzen, trusting one another. V'eno echad choshed es chaveru b'chelkei, and no one is suspecting the other one of taking his portion in it. Ulechi mishmesh b'kisiv l'motza lo ayayish. And when the one who was carrying the coin checked his pocket and didn't find it, he didn't give up hope. He figures that one of the other guys found it. And to irritate me, he's keeping quiet. The result would be that the onlooker who picked up that coin, when he picked it up, came to him before they gave up hope on it. And since we set it up like Abaye, but Abaye spoke in terms on the Chof Aleph, you can see that in the Gemara, that even something that has no identification mark in it, you cannot keep it if the original owner did not give up hope on it. Rashi continues, Avol, ki ein boy shalosh prutos, if the coin that fell has less than three prutas of value to it, so that if you were to divide it amongst the three people, you would have less than a minimum amount of monetary value per person, we say you can keep it. Monafshach. Either way, you look at things. E shutfin hein bo, if they happen to be shutfin partners in that coin worth less than three prutah, ein kan mishum hashavas aveda, because it, as we mentioned before, it has less than the pruta minimum financial value per person, you don't have a Torah obligation of returning a lost item that is worth so little. V'im shel echad mehem hu o shel hashnayim, if the coin which was worth the two prutas, let's say, belonged to only one of them or to two of them, no ashu, they would have given up hope. V'yomru, and figuring chaverenu ze ganavu, the other guy that found that he's a thief, v'arei mishamed, and he's denying. V'yomar lo lokachtiv, I didn't take it. Echo mekem locho v'gonvo mechaver, one of you guys took it and stole from his friend. In a case like that, therefore, there is yeush. We go back to the Gemara. Iko diamri, Omer of Nachman, afagav de les bay ela shoveshte prutos. Even if the coin has the value of only two prutos, and it fell from between three people, chayav lahachzir, It appears to me that in this version of Rava, Rava is directly arguing with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had spoken in terms of excuse me, let me correct the, I made a mistake there. This version of Rava is clearly at odds with the first version of Rava. In the first version of Rava, the need to or the ability to keep the coin when it fell from three arose only if it's worth less than three prutos. In this version, even if it's worth less than three prutos, you cannot keep it. You are chayav lahasir. My taima, emor shutfi ninu, v'chad minayu, achuli achle lemonse gabi chavrei. Rava suspects that even if it is worth only two prutos, you have to return it because there is no yeush. And why is that? They may have originally been partners in it. The three may have originally been partners in it, and one of them forfeited his holding to the others. So if that's the case, then there is a shava pruta per person. And as we saw before in the Rashi, at that point you have a chiyuv of hashava zaveda. V'omar Rava, ro sela shenofla. A person saw a coin fall. Notla lifnei yeush. Before we go further, we should point out the new marking, the diamond that you see. It's featured on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei / Mivne heading. And here we are featuring Averos Hakshuos Lemishalo Machzir Aveda. Sins that could be applicable to one who does not return a lost item. I think it's of value before we learn the Gemara itself to take note of the psukim that you find in Sefer Dvarim Perichov Beis. It's worth looking at psukim Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Let's go over the psukim together. Let's read the psukim together to get a flavor of what will be quoted in the Gemara. Pasuk Aleph says, Lo sira es shor achicha o es seyo nidochim v'salamta mehem, hashev teshivem lachicha. If one notices a person's ox or sheep wandering, it's lost, so you shall return it. That's hashev teshivem lachicha. Pasuk Beis, v'im lo karoiv achicha elecha v'lo yedatoi, if he's not nearby, or you don't know who the owner is. You keep it until the owner seeks it out and then return it to him. And thusly, you shall do to his donkey, to his garment, or to anything else that he lost. And you are the finder. Lo suchal aslam, you cannot, you're not allowed to avoid it. In other words, you have an obligation to return, to take care of and return the lost article. Now we turn to the Gemara, and we see someone finds a coin. Notla, we're looking at the Gemara where the first diamond appears. Notla lefnei yeush. He picked it up immediately after it fell. In other words, Rashi says that he picked it up so quickly that the owner didn't even have a chance to check his pocket out. We've learned in previous sugyas that there is, with regard to coins, There's a very rapid state of yeush because people are always checking their pockets. In this case, you picked it up so quickly, even before the owner had a chance to check his pocket. And you took the coin, you picked it up, al menas legozlo, with the intention of keeping it, the intention of stealing it. Oiver bekulan, one is in violation of all the possible sins associated with this topic. Number one, mishum loy sigzal. We didn't read that pasuk before, but it's in Vayikra Perek Yutes, the prohibition of stealing. Umishum hoshev tishivim, and you are in violation of the obligation to return. Number three, umishum lo suchol nisalem, the pasuk, the other pasuk, pasuk gimel that we read, you're not allowed to hide yourself from it, meaning to avoid it. Even if after the owner gave up hope, you should let's say decide to give it to him, the one that lost it, matonahu deyoyevle visur david avad. At that point, we're viewing what you are, what you've done, as giving a gift, and what the violation that you have violated remains a violation. Notla lifnei yeush al menas lachzira. In the same case where you saw a coin fall and you picked it up very quickly, but with the intention of giving it back. Ula'achar yeush niskavin legoizla. And after the owner checked his pocket, discovered it's not there, and gave up hope, you determined, you decided to keep it for yourself. Oiver mishum hoshev tishivim. You're in violation of that offense alone. Rashi explains, you're not in violation of lo sigzal because the prohibition of thou shall not steal applies only at the time that you're taking it. And here at the time that you were taking, you took it with the intention of giving it back. So at the time of taking, you were not in violation of lo sigzol. And once that passes, you don't become a violator of lo sigzol later on. There was another pasuk, lo sochol isalem, that applies only to one who initially avoids picking it up and returning it. But here we have someone that picked it up with the intention of returning it. After a while he decided to keep it for himself. That is not called misalem. So the violation of lo suchol isalem has no relevance here either. The only verse that has relevance is a pasuk that commands you to return it, and here you are, you by keeping it are violating that. We continue with the next case. Himtin lo achis yashua by them. You saw a coin fall. You waited for the owner to check his pockets out, find it's not there, give up hope, and then you vinotlo, and then you picked it up. Einoi over elo mishum loy suchal lisalem bilvat. Your sin in that case is limited to that you avoided. The pasuk says, "Thou shall not misalem." You shall not avoid the mitzvah of returning. And in this case, you didn't pick it up for returning purposes. You waited till the owner was misyayish. So you violated the command of thou shalt not avoid, and you did. The Omar Rava, Haiman de Chazi de Nafazuzi mechavrei be chasa. You saw a coin fall from your friend in the sand. Be chasa chol is sand. The ashkiche, and you found it v'shakle and took it. Lo mechayav adurile, you're not obligated to return it to your friend. My taimo, why aren't you obligated to return it? We have an answer. You notice we have a long answer. Hahu denofa minei meishu, the one from whom it fell is misyayish. He gives up hope on getting his coin back. Even if you notice, the fellow who lost the coin brings a sifter into the sand and starts sifting the sand in hopes of recovering his coin. Meimar Omar, that guy figures, Kiheshi denofel minoi didi, just like the coin fell from me, hachinami nofel meinish achrina. Coins could have fallen from other people. Umashkach midi, and he found it. So that the fact that the owner brings a device to try to find it doesn't show us that he hasn't really given up hope. He was, we'll say, trying his luck, so to speak, but not really with intention of finding his coin that he lost. Motzo b'chanus, the Mishnah, the new Mishnah, if one found an item that has no simen on it in a chanus, in a store, hare elu shelo, you can keep it. The one who owned it has given up hope. After all, a store is a public area. Bein hateva v'lechenvoni, shel chenvoni. If you found the item between the teva is a, call that a, we'll refer to it maybe as a counter. Literally a table or a box. The store owner, the vendor, sits on the other side of the box, and he takes things from it and puts it on the top and sells his items. And when he sells his items, he gets money and then puts it in this box. If you find something between the vendor and the teva, it couldn't have fallen from anyone other than the chenvoni. So an item found there belongs to the chenvoni. Lifnei shulchani hare elu shelo. If you find something in front of a money, find money, coins, in front of a money changer, then you can keep it. However, bein hakisei v'la shulchani hare elu shel shulchani. If you find something between the chair on which the money changer sits and his kisei, I should say, v'shulchani, and the table on which he conducts his business, so coins that are found in that location didn't fall from the general public. So therefore, it belongs to the shulchani, to the coin, to the money changer himself. Halokech peros mechavero, oisha shilach loy chavero peros. One who bought fruits from his friend or sent or his friend sent fruits to him, umotzabain mois, and you found money in the fruit, either the fruit that you bought from him or that he sent to you, hare elu shelo, you can keep the money. Im hayutzur noitel umachris, if the money was found in a pouch, something was tied up, so then you can't keep it. You take it and announce their loss. And Rashi says the owner of the money could offer the simon in the form of the kesher, the knot that tied up the pouch, or the minyan, the number of coins. The Gemara. Before we go into the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading. Din Rebbe Lazar B'shulchani. The din of Rebbe Lazar will be featured in the Gemara regarding a money changer. Motza al hashulchan. Hare l'shelo shelamotze. If you find coins on the table that the shulchani conducts his business, you can keep the coins that you find there. The Gemara. Oma Rebbe Lazar. Afilu munochim al gabi shulchan. Even if it's on the shulchan itself, you can keep the coins. The Gemara asks Tanan, Lifnei Shulchani Hare Elu Shelo. Coins that you find Lifnei Shulchani, and Rashi explains that that term implies on the ground, in front of the table, facing the public. Those are the coins you can keep. All Al Gabi Shulchan de Shulchani. But on the table proper that he conducts his business, that belongs to the owner, the Shulchani, the money changer himself. That would be a kasha on Rabbi Lozer. So Rabbi Lozer responds, says, if you're asking from that, Amos Seifa, state the continuation. Bein HaKisei V'Shulchani Shel Shulchani. If you find coins between the chair on which the Shulchani sits and the table, that is what belongs to the Shulchani. Ho Al Gabi Shulchan Shelo. If you want to draw inferences, well, drawing an inference from the Seifa would lead you to say that when you find it on the table, that you could keep, like Rabbi Lozer. Elo Meho Leko L'Mashmanyo. From the quotes of our Mishnah, there is nothing to determine. For Rabbi Lozer, Ho Menole. As far as Rabbi Lozer, from where does he know his point that even on the table, the finder can keep it? Omarova Masnisin Chisei. A point in the Mishnah was difficult for Rabbi Lozer, and from that he came to his conclusion. My Irya Detani Bein Akisei La Shulchani Shel Shulchani. Why does the Mishnah present the law regarding the Shulchani as it does, between the chair on which he sits and the table? That belongs to the money changer. Lisni Al Gabi Shulchan. If that which is on the table in fact belongs to the money changer, so then say that which is on the table belongs to the money changer. Why does the Mishnah, we'll say, limit it to that which is between where he sits and the table? Even on the table. Inami. Alternatively, the language of the Mishnah could have been Motza Beshulchanus. Kidikoni Reisha Motza Bechonus Shelo. The Rashi says, second line from the bottom. Inami nisni b'resha motza b'shulchanus kidiktoni resha motza b'chanus. In our Mishnah, we saw the opening of the Mishnah motza b'chanus. Language wise, it could have said motza b'shulchanus. Now, midenoka lifnei hashulchani. From the fact that when it came to the money changer, it said, if you find it lifnei hashulchani, it is yours, you can keep it. That indicates af al hashulchan b'mashma. Even that which is on the table, and not just that which is on the floor. So we turn back to the Gemara. Ela, three lines from the bottom. Ela shma mino. Afilu munochim agabi shulchan hare elu shelo. From the fact that when it came to the case of the shulchani, the language was as it is, and it didn't parallel the language of the beginning of the Mishnah. We determined, Rabbi Lozer determined, that even on the table of the money changer, if you find money there, you can keep it. And once again, we're ascribing the money that was left there as being money that was left there by the general public. Halukeach peros mechavero v'chulei. The Mishnah said, if you receive fruits, you acquired fruits from your friend, and you found money there in the fruits, you can keep it. Omer Shlokish mishum Rabbi Yanai lo shanu. The teaching of the Mishnah that you can keep the money. Ela, and we continue at the top of Daf Chof Zayin. Beloikeach min hatagor. The Mishnah that made reference to your buying fruits, receiving fruits from your friend, and you can keep the money that you find amongst those fruits, so that the friend happens to be a tagor, is a wholesaler. He's a middleman. He's a merchant. He's not a person that grows the fruits in his personal garden. or his personal farm. He's a tagor. And as such, he buys his produce from producers and sells it to the general public. He buys his produce from many different producers. He doesn't know any given group of fruits. He doesn't know from whom it came. This you can see in Rashi on the top line. Belokech min hatagor shav hu, even the one from whom you bought the produce, lokach tvuzu mi'anoshim harbe, he bought it from many different suppliers. Velo yedia demaninu, and he doesn't know from specifically from whom these fruits are. V'kevan deles behusimin, and since the money doesn't have any sign on them, there's no identification mark on them. Nisyashu ha'bailim, the original owner has given up hope. The Gemara continues, Avol belokech mibalabayas chayav lahachzir. However, if you bought fruits from a private producer and you found amongst the fruits that you bought that were sent to you some cash, you have to give the cash back to him, to the fellow that you bought it from. V'chein toni tano kameder of Nachman. And likewise, it's taught in a Tanaic source that was taught in the presence of Rav Nachman. Lo shanu, the halacha that you can keep the money is limited. Elo belokech min hatagor, that is when you bought the produce from a wholesaler. Avo belokech mibal habayis chayav lahachzir. If you bought it from a private individual, then you have to return the money. Omar le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman turns to the one that stated the source in his presence. The markings that you see here are here to create a connection between Rav Nachman, who was turning to the Toni Tana, the one who had taught the source in his presence. So Rav Nachman asks the fellow who taught the source, who said within the source that if you get it, the fruits from a private person, you have to give back the money. Why is that so obvious? V'chi balabayas ba'atzmo doshan. When speaking about produce, we can talk about wheat, produce that needs processing, threshing. Does the fellow who sells the wheat himself do the threshing? He has workers, and the money that you find amongst the wheat that you bought from the private individual may have fallen from someone else. So even the private person has the characteristic of the tagor. Why can't you keep the money? Amale, so the Tani, the one who taught the Tana, the one who taught the Tanaic source, says to Rav Nachman, well, based on your question then, Yismei, should I reject the source? Should I erase the source that I received, that I taught? Amale, no, Rav Nachman said, not so quickly, you don't have to erase it. To Targem Masnisach, you can explain the source that you taught, that if you bought from a Bala Bias, you have to give back the money. That it's a kind of homeowner whose threshing work is done by his own heathen slaves and bondmaids. So that if the money fell into the produce that was threshed by his heathen bondmaid or slave, whatever they own belongs to the master anyway. In a case like that, then it's clear that the money belongs to the Bala Bias, and it would be that scenario that the source that the Toni Tana taught had in mind. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.